All right, chapter 8, Zechariah. This chapter is a continuation of chapter 7. The message of report, of reproof here for their attitude toward God as we finish the last chapter. Now, God speaks again as the Lord of power or the Lord of might. Notice it's the word of the Lord of hosts that came unto me, saying. In verse 2, we read, "And thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." So, the great jealousy here. And oh, how God wants them to know how much he loves them. How great his love is for them. And in chapter 1, verse 14, read that the same God, the Lord of hosts, said, "I'm a jealous over Jerusalem." And so he is truly a jealous God. But this is proof that God will not be angry with them forever because of his love toward them. You can't stay angry at somebody you really love. And the heat of God's anger is now against the oppressor rather than his people. In verse 3 we read, "And the Lord said, I am returned into Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." I am returned. What a statement. Present tense. But the Jews are blind and can't see it was God that returned in Christ Jesus, and he was rejected. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and had committed unto them the words of reconciliation. So this is what Christ was. He came to reconcile between God and Israel. He came into his own first, and then they rejected him. They received him not. As many that received him, to them gave he power or right or authority to become children of God. Now we go into the future tense, and he says, "I will dwell in the midst of Zion in Jerusalem." Now how do we know that this is future even yet? I think Isaiah 2 gives us a hint of this. And he said in Isaiah 2 verse 2, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the mountain, top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go into the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge all nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And he said, though he was furious over them, yet he said, "I'm going to return to Zion." Well, he did, and he was rejected, but he will still return again to Zion. And he said, "I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem and Jerusalem and call it a city of truth." Now, we know this is yet future, don't we? Zion is a part of Jerusalem. It's a part that's holy to God. It's what God gave to David for a throne. And we read in his words to David in 2 Samuel 5, verse 7. He said, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, and the same is the city of David." Now, this fact is repeated 4 times in the scripture that Zion is called the city of David. In 1 Kings 8:1, and I'm not going to turn to all these, but you can write them down. 2 Chronicles 11:5, 2 Chronicles 5:2, and Psalms 2, verse 6. And as we read a while ago, "I've set my king upon the holy hill of Zion." in Psalm 78:2, Zion is called the city of the great king. And in Psalms 132:13, Zion said, "For the Lord has chosen Zion and hath desired it for his habitation." So there's no doubt in Jerusalem, as Zion is in Jerusalem and not in Independence, Missouri. Jehovah has said Jerusalem shall be the city of truth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this is the mount of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain? Well, then I don't know of any mountain in Independence, do you? And he says, this is a holy mountain. Oh, how the Lord does things and how he changes things and people. When Christ becomes their king to see the truth, and Jesus is the truth, it's called the city of truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And whom God has made free is free indeed. I believe the way it goes. Christ is also the Word, and when they receive the Word, they'll be separated unto Christ in all holiness as a nation that's been set aside for him. As individuals, when they receive the truth, they'll become separated into Christ also. Jesus said in John 17:19, he says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth, separated unto the Lord through the truth. Then in verses 4-6, then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, when ye fast and mourn in the fifth and the seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast? Let's see, verses 4-6 of chapter 8, pardon me. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be more marvelous for in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord. People will become old, that is, in the flesh, they'll be old, just like they have always been ever since Adam. But the difference is they'll not die young. No matter what, they won't die young. They won't die of disease or of war, because Christ will be their healer and he'll be the captain of their deliverance. Old men will be in the streets, children will be in the streets. And the old man might be leaning on their staff because of a very old age, but they won't die. We read similar scripture of this in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, verse 20. And read there, that there shall no more hence be infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. At 100 years old, he's still considered a child. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. There will be death, but only if one refuses the healing of sin. Who turn their back on it, won't have it. His death is still in the flesh. Sin will still be in the flesh, but it'll have no power because of no law. Therefore, people will be able to live 1,000 years, be 1,000 years old. And they'll have children as usual, just like they do now. And they'll be able to be in the streets without danger. You don't have to worry about your children getting hurt as they play. And these children, though, even though they've been raised by godly parents, and there's no tempter, he'll be in the pit of the abyss, but they'll still need to be saved, just like everybody else is saved, because they'll have a body of flesh. Now, they'll be without excuse, won't they? Because there won't be anybody there to tempt them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, Should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Today, it's very difficult to see and understand what God is doing or going to do for these people that he's loved all these years. We must see it through eyes of the Spirit. And when the remnant will see it with their own eyes, it'll be still be hard to understand. The old saying is, I can't believe my own eyes. It's marvelous. And it's true. So it is in the eyes of the Lord. All that he has set out to do will be accomplished. It'll all be over. Heaven and earth will be full of joy and rejoicing before the Lord at this time. Verse 7 and 8. Should ye not hear the words which the Lord has cried by former prophet? I'm always going over the wrong chapter. My eyes go over on the wrong side. All right, let's get back to chapter 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Now here's God's promise to Israel, and oh, what a promise it is. It's the salvation of all his earthly people. Looking to the east, we see the rising of the sun, and to the west, we see the setting of the sun. And Psalms 50 is so wonderfully fitting into this thought. Verses 1 and 2, the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. And no matter where his people have lived, they'll be gathered home to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they are God's people, and he's their God. He's the God of truth and of righteousness. The word truth is used 5 times in this chapter. Both are the character of Christ, their King. The full restoration of the nation Israel is yet future, but we see it in the horizon. We know it's almost here. The nations are all lined up to bring them to nothing. And how wonderful it'll be when they're rejoicing in the Lord. As we read in the second chapter of Zechariah, verse 10, it says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, and lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Until Zechariah, there are 35 phrases of the phrase, in the midst of thee. Only 4 of them are about Christ, and the rest are about judgment. And we read several of them. Deuteronomy 18:15 is one. But I was thinking of in Acts 7:37. Peter relates this prophecy to Christ. Isaiah and Zephaniah tell of this time. And Isaiah 12:6 says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And then in Zephaniah 3:15, we read that the Lord taketh away thy judgment and hath cast out thy enemy, the King of Israel, even the Lord, in the midst of thee. So we know where God is going to dwell. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice in thee, rejoice. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. All right, 9 and 10. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let the hands of the strong, ye that hear in these days the words of the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts, was laid, that the temple might be built. Before those days there was no hire for men, nor the hire for beasts, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in, because of the affliction, for I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. And I think of the courage and the strength that these builders will need. Now this refers not only to the days of Zechariah, but also the days of the end time. Now the remnant, end a remnant, will need strength, for they'll work, watch, pray concerning the will of their God. Prior to this, there was no work, we read. The peace, no peace for man, no work for beast. This will be God's doing. He said, I will set all men against his neighbor. Unemployment will grow worse and worse after the bride of Christ is gone. The rich will become richer and the poor will become poorer. We see this in process today, but God will have some that will be faithful to him regardless of circumstances or condition. Verses 11 and 12. But now I will be unto the residue of this people as a former day, saith the Lord of hosts, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give her dew. And I will cause a remnant of this people to possess all these things. And then we have the phrase, but now. In other words, there'll be a change in God's working. He will not be to the obedient. He'll not act to the obedient remnant as he was to the disobedient people when he sent them into captivity. Today, the Jews still under Gentile rule because they're still disobedient to God's purpose. After the tribulation, the remnant, or we might say the seed, the holy seed that would accept Christ, will prosper. For God will cause plenty of moisture so that the plants that they plant will produce a great increase. And on top of all this, God will enable the remnant to possess all things, we read here. How great and rich they will become, even the riches of God's love for them. In verses 13 through 18, and it shall come to pass that ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Israel, and O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be blessed, ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you, and your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do will unto Jerusalem and unto the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gate. And let none of you imagine evil in your heart against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And these verses, to me, are proof of the end time. For this has not yet been fulfilled. All the 10 tribes will be blessed together, both Judah and Benjamin. And this has not been since the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. For about the last 2,600 years, they have been a curse among the nation. But God will save them. He'll save his people. He's going to bless them and remove all their fears from them and strengthen their hands to work and do God's will. Can God change his mind about things? Yes, he can, and he does. But his mind is always in accord with his purpose, always in harmony with his purpose. And his purpose was before the foundation of the earth that he would have a people that he could have fellowship with. And he's going to have this purpose. And he thought to punish, and he did for a while, and will continue until the end of Jacob's trouble. Then he will think to bless. He thought to punish, and he'll think to bless. And he'll bless all Jerusalem and all Judah. When God repents for them not to fear, they'll not fear. When he changes his mind on dealing with them, they'll not fear the tribulation or anything else. Verse 16, these are the things that ye shall do. And so we read of these things, there's four things that God wants from the remnant. Though they are saved people with the righteousness of Christ, they still will have Adam nature. And one of the things that he expects out of them is they will learn to walk in the Spirit and overcome the flesh. Now, this isn't odd, because this is what he's asked the church to do, isn't it? Do exactly the same thing. They cannot do anything of themselves to please God, and neither can we. It all has to be by being born again. And this nation is going to be born again, as we read in Isaiah. And we have to be born again in order to please God. Because we're really reading Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And Jesus said in John 8:29, "For I do always those things that please him." So only in Christ can we speak truth to his neighbor. The second thing that we read here is the judges, they're to judge according to truth and according to peace. They've never done this. The third thing that we read is, "Let none of you imagine evil," and notice this, "in your heart against his neighbor." How impossible this is for the natural man to do. Not even to imagine evil, much less do it. Don't even imagine it. Then the fourth thing in this line is, "Love no false oath." That is, no false witness when people hate people that swear falsely. For all these things God hates. And this is what he said. This is future, we know, because this is not possible for the Jews to do it today. 18 through 23. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be into the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come a people and the habitation of many cities. And the habitation of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirts of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. The word of the Lord now again came to Zechariah, and three other times we read, thus saith the Lord. I think God wants them to know that it's his word, and he has whatever he says is going to happen. But first God tells them that the fast will be turned into feasts. In chapter 7, the men from Bethel ask about the feast, and it seemed as they were tired of them. But here God gives a time that the feast will end. We have 4 months mentioned, with the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month. And these were important times. In 2 Kings 25, read from 2 through 5. And the city was seized in the 11th year of King Zedekiah, and on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people to eat, for people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And then this is repeated again in Jeremiah 52, 5-7. But here we have the fifth month, and the fifth month, and the seventh month, and the tenth month is mentioned. Well, how about the fifth month? In 2 Kings 25, 8-10, we have the fifth month. and on the fifth month, and on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, king of the guards, and he burned the house and all that. Then in the seventh month, and so we've had all of these things before, we talked about them. In the 10th month, I think I read that before, didn't I? Jeremiah 52, 4 and 5. In the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and all the army. But see, all of these things are mentioned here as a time that God will move upon them. Oh, please, here, let me find it. In the 4th month, fast the 5th month, verse 19, and the 7th month, and the 10th month, these will be times of fast, shall be unto the house of Judah. And then joy and gladness, cheerful feast. So we see it changed again. They see it changed into a feast. Even today, Jews do much weeping. They have a weeping wall, and they do a lot of weeping, and they afflict their souls. But God's going to change all that when they see the reason of their affliction and how the mercies of God had brought them out and give them a king. The house of Judah does not exclude Israel, but again, they will be the leading tribes. King Jesus will set his throne up in Jerusalem. The Lord told Zechariah something else in verse 20. It seemed to me that this has two parts. First, the Jews of the city will persuade other Jews to go to Jerusalem, and will lead them to go with them. Come, let us go to Jerusalem. And they all will be so excited and so thrilled that they just can't say no. The excitement will grow and grow to where the Gentiles will see what's happening to the Jews, and they'll want to go too, as we read in Isaiah. The purpose will be to pray and seek the Lord. And what a glorious day this will be on the earth when everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, will seek the Lord with full of joy and praising him. And in verse 23, the last, thus saith the Lord in this chapter, 10 men shall hold all languages. Now this fact tells us two things. First, during the millennium, there will be at least 10 different languages.